நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரியமத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. ஸோ இன் எஸ்டர்டேஸ் கிளாஸ் வி ஸ்டார்டட் டு சி தி ஃபஸ்ட் சூத்ரா, நேம்லி அதாத்தோ பிரம்ம ஜிக்யாசா. And we were going through the word analysis of the first word atha, and we saw acharya entering into a big topic, namely the condemnation of other views. A purvapakshi, he gives another meaning for atha shabda, and instead of sadhana chaturthaya sampatti, instead of actually sadhana chaturshtaka sampatti anantara, after acquiring sadhana chaturshtaka sampatti for the atha shabda, the purvapakshi says purva mimamsa should be the meaning and not sadhana chaturshtaka sampatti. That is the difference. So he accepts anantara, so prerequisite he accepts, but what is the prerequisite is the question. And brahma sutra should be studied after studying purva mimamsa. And Acharya elaborately refutes this, and that is the topic we started yesterday. And Purva Mimamsa is the analysis of the first portion of the Veda, the Karma Kanda and Upasana Kandas. And Brahma Sutra is Uttara Mimamsa, analysis of the final portion, where the subject matter is Brahman Jnana. Therefore, Atha should refer to Purva Mimamsa only, is the Purva Pakshi's view. And they have got a logical support also for that, because Purva Mimamsa deals with Karma and Upasana, which is the qualification for getting Jnana. Therefore, Atha means Purva Mimamsa Anantaram, Uttara Mimamsa is the logical evolution according to them. And this is the Krama, this is the procedure. And Purva Mimamsa Sutras are written by Jaimini Maharishi, and it has got 12 chapters, as I mentioned yesterday. And Acharya gives both Yukti and Shruti support to refute the views of Purva Mimamsakas, and he gives 4 reasons. And the first one is lack of consistency. Suppose Atha is translated as after study of Purva Mimamsa, then there will be 2 problems. One may study Purva Mimamsa thoroughly, but the issue is even after study of Purva Mimamsa, one may not have sadhana chaturthaya sampatti. One may be a scholar in Purva Mimamsa only, yet one may not have the qualification to take Brahma Vidya or Brahma Sutra classes perhaps. Therefore, the chances are unqualified person will not understand Jnanakanda. And one need not develop vairagyam, one may not be interested. Actually, Purva Mimamsakas are interested in other things like swarga and various iha para loka palams also. Ritualists have no interest in Vedanta. They perform more and more rituals only. If such a person without sadhana chaturshtaya sampatti enters Vedanta vichara, it may not benefit him at all. And the second problem is, there are some rare cases of people, they are born with sadhana chaturshtaya sampatti because of purva janma sadhana. They do not require purva mimamsa at all. Rituals are meant for sadhana chaturshtaya sampatti, and therefore why should they waste their time in rituals? So Shankaracharya's statement is, after sadhana chaturshtaya sampatti, after acquiring the qualification, either in previous birth or in this birth, sadhana chaturshtaya sampatti becomes compulsory for all seekers of jnana, self-knowledge. And Acharya gives some more reasons. When the Purvapakshi says one should come to Vedanta after studying Purva Mimamsa, he has a particular philosophy in mind prevalent during Acharya's time. That is, mere knowledge cannot give liberation, therefore jnanam must be combined with karma to gain moksha. So Acharya is going to refute the jnana karma samuchaya vadi. So jnana karma samuchaya means both should be done together. His condition is everyone should study Purva Mimamsa first and then know all about rituals. Thereafterwards, one should practice all the rituals, the ritualistic practices, and while implementing it, one should simultaneously also do Vedantic inquiry and pursue Jnana Marga. That is their contention. Therefore, Purva Mimamsa study is important to combine karma with jnanam, is the contention of Purva Pakshi. And Shankaracharya refutes this, that is the jnana karma samuchayavada. He refutes giving three reasons. One is karma jnana kandayoho vishaya bedat. That is number one. I will explain all of them. And number two, karma jnana kandayoho prayojana bedat. And number three, karma jnana kandayoho pravritti bedat. So we will see each one of them in some detail. First reason is what? Karma jnana kandayoho vishaya bedat. The subject matter, vishaya, of karma kanda and jnana kanda are diagonally opposite and therefore cannot be combined. Combination is possible only when the subject matter is similar. Grouping is possible only when they have common interest. Karmakanda deals with unaccomplished goal like Swarga and all that. Whereas Jnanakanda deals with goal already accomplished. The moksha is not an event in future. You are already liberated. Only one has to own up after gaining self-knowledge. And Karmakanda deals with sadhyam. Whereas for Jnanakanda, it is siddham. Already you are liberated. That's what it says. One deals with anatma in karmakanda and the other deals with atma. One deals with anitya phalam while the other deals with nitya phalam. One is based on kartrutvam, doership, and the other on akartrutvam. One is full of relationship, bandha, and the other is without relationship, no sangha at all. One deals with sangha and the other with the self. One deals with avidya, ignorance, and the other deals with vidya, knowledge. One deals with extroverted dependence on the world and the other deals with introvert dependence on oneself. In Kathopanishad, we saw the famous mantra, Duramete viparite vishuchi avidya yache vidyeti jnata vidya vipsinam nachiketa sammanye natva kama bahavo lolupanta. These two margas, the karma marga and jnana marga, they are wide apart, mutually exclusive, leading to different ways known as ignorance and knowledge, avidya and vidya. So one is a prayo marga, another is shreyo marga. Therefore, you cannot say purva mimamsa anantaram. That is the first reason. And the second reason he says to the Purvapakshi is prayojana bedat. The benefits are also different. Karmakanda gives anitya palam, whereas jnanakanda gives moksha anitya palam. Karmakanda gives punarjanma palam. Jnanakanda gives a punarjanma palam. Karmakanda goes towards south and the other north. South means it is presided by Yamadharmaraja. Whereas north is presided by Soma Devata, who has Amrita Kalasham in his hand compared to moksha. And this is the second reason. They are diametrically opposite. And the third reason is pravritti bedat. The difference is found in their functions also. Karmakanda teaches a person, it persuades or incites a person into action. It is to make a person active. It discusses Swarga, the palam of karma. After tempting, Karmakanda also says, you do Jyotishtoma and all those yajnas. So the readers will be tempted to do yajnas. It is achievement oriented. For example, they do Soma Yajna, they are called the Somayaji title. They do Vajapaya Yajna, they get Vajapaya title. So, Jnanakanda does not tempt anyone by providing various goals. All fulfillments are one's own nature, it says. One who has discovered Brahman has accomplished everything and has nothing to accomplish. It reveals the nature. It never pushes a person into action. Even if one is tempted into action, it will say, you are akarta. By revealing Purnatva nature, Jnanakanda is apravartakam and nivartakam. And it makes a person so much contented. So Vedanta teaches how to be full, how to be complete by knowing who I am. Because of all these reasons, one cannot say Purva Mimamsa Anantaram. Thus, logically, Shankaracharya has refuted the Purva Mimamsa's Purva Pakshi's contention also. Now, let us take the scriptural refutation of Purva Pakshi's views. It's a very technical point here. Acharya establishes, these are all in the Bhashya. Acharya establishes Vedanta Vichara need not be compulsorily preceded by Purva Mimamsa. He establishes that Karma Kanda study and Jnana Kanda study are not sequential. That is, one first studies Karma Kanda and thereafter studies Jnana Kanda. That is not compulsory for all. That is, Karma Brahma Vichara Yoho Kramaha Nasti. There is no order. He says there is no Veda Pramanam for this sequence, or that makes Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda are sequential. So he goes to Purva Mimamsa portion itself to establish this fact. He applies certain Purva Mimamsa ideas. In Purva Mimamsa, they have to analyze many rituals. One of the inquiries is that where there are a few rituals in the Veda, should they be done simultaneously or should they be done in order, in a krama? To establish, they put a particular condition. If many rituals are to be done simultaneously, they have to be done by many people, since one ritual can be done by only one person at a time. For example, simultaneously, four Purnahuti ritual that cannot be done by one individual, so there will be four priests. But if many rituals have to be done by one person, it cannot be simultaneous. It has to be done one after the other. And the condition is there for Krama Yeka Kartrutvam. One has to follow a krama, an order, to do more than one ritual. And there is no other way. If it is simultaneous, more than one will be there. How do we know whether the rituals have got eka kartrukatvam or aneka kartrukatvam? One person has to do or many people have to do? Acharya finishes the entire discussion in just one line in his Bhashya. He says, any one of the three conditions indicate whether many rituals are to be done by one person or many persons, eka or aneka kartrukatvam. Number one, eka pradhana seshatvam, and two, sesa seshitvam, and number three, adhikrita adhikaratvam. I'll explain all of them. So number one, if many rituals are subsidiary to one main ritual, it is called eka pradhana seshatvam. If it is there, only one person has to perform all rituals. Then only his performance is complete. So it is called Eka Kartrikatva. And two, if there are two rituals in which one is subsidiary and the other is a main ritual, this is called the Sesha Seshitvam, that Sambandham. Then also both rituals should be done by only one person. And then only it will be complete. And the third condition is, suppose there are two main rituals, and if one is qualified to do one ritual, only if he has done one main ritual, then alone he can do the other. This is called adhikrita adhikaratva. They cannot be done simultaneously, but have to be done one after the other by the same person who has already done one of the main rituals earlier. So if any one of these conditions are there, then these few rituals have to be done by one person. Eka Kartrikatva Niyama. But done one after the other, all the rituals. In Purva Mimamsa, they group rituals and they say they have to be done in order. There is a krama. And the next headache also, what should be the order? For that, they have got separate six pramanams to analyze or establish the order. There is a Shruti Krama, Artha Krama, Pata Krama, Sthana Krama, Mukhya Krama, Pravritti Krama, so many methods, six methods they use to arrive at an order. And Shankaracharya's question is, do we have any one of these conditions, that is Eka Pradhana Seshatvam Va, Sesha Seshitvam Va, or Adhikrita Adhikaratvam Va, to prove that Purva Mimamsa and Uttara Mimamsa should be done in order? And Shankaracharya says, since none of the conditions are there, one cannot say there is order in Purva Mimamsa or Uttara Mimamsa. Therefore, there is no krama, order between Purva Mimamsa and Uttara Mimamsa are Vedanta. Therefore, Atha cannot mean Purva Mimamsa Anantaram. That is the conclusion he makes. So this is the technical analysis. So simply put, Acharya says there is no Veda Pramanam to prove that Purva Mimamsa is compulsory for study of Vedanta. Then the Purvapakshi argues, Veda Pramanam is there to prove Purva Mimamsa is compulsory. And what are the Pramanams? He quotes Brihadaranyaka Upanishad and he says, Tametam Vedanu Vachanena Brahmana Vividishanti Yajnena Dhanena Tapasa Anashakena. That is, one has to go through three ashramas to get Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti qualification for the study of Vedanta. Vedanu Vachanena Brahmacharya Ashrama Yajnena Dhanena Grahastha Ashrama Tapasa Anashakena Vanaprastha Ashrama. We explained all the shlokas during our Brihadaranyaka lectures. And in Jabala Upanishad, it is stated much more clearly. And it says very clearly, Brahmacharyam Parisamaptya Grihi Bhavet. Grihi Bhutva Vani Bhavet. Vani Bhutva Pravrajet. After completing Brahmacharya Ashrama, Brahmacharya life, one has to become Grahastha. Then he should become Vanaprastha. Then he should become Sannyasi. So Jabala Upanishad clearly says one has to go through three ashramas to get Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti. That means if three ashramas are compulsory, Purva Mimamsa is also compulsory. Why? Because Grahastha Ashrama requires Karma Anushtanam. Vanaprastha Ashrama requires Upasana Anushtanam. Therefore, one has to practice Karma and Upasana in the first three ashramas. Karma and Upasana are discussed in Veda Purva Bhaga only. Therefore, Purva Mimamsa is required compulsory. Therefore, there is Veda Pramanam according to Purvapakshi. For this, the Vedantin answers, of course, Acharya does not discuss this in the first sutra, but elsewhere, but discussed by some sub-commentators. They say, you talk about Japala Upanishad statement that is true, which says Brahmacharya Grihi Bhaved, Grihi Bhutva, Vani Bhaved and all that. But in the same Japala Upanishad, you have to read the next statement, which says Athava, otherwise. This is the Krama, that is correct. Athava, if it is not there, otherwise, there is an option, which says otherwise, Itaratham Brahmacharyat Eva Pravrajet. Three ashramas are not compulsory if one takes to sannyasa ashrama from Brahmacharya ashrama itself directly. He need not take Grahastha ashrama and Vanaprastha ashrama. Therefore, one does not require karma and upasana compulsorily. Therefore, he does not require Veda Purva Bhaga. Therefore, Purva Mimamsa. Therefore, even though Veda Pramanam says, it is not telling, it is compulsory, it is only an option. And the next question is, if Purva Mimamsa is not compulsory, then what is compulsory? Purvapakshi doesn't leave. We have already said, Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti is compulsory. Purva Mimamsa is not compulsory. Then the Purvapakshi gets wild. And he says, you say Purva Mimamsa is not compulsory, Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti is, that means you say Karma and Upasana are not compulsory and Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti is. But it is wrong to say that because Purvapakshi says, unfortunately, Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti itself is possible because of Karma alone. Karma Yoga and Upasana alone give Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti. Therefore, once you say Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti is compulsory, you should accept Purva Bhaga of Veda is compulsory also. So Purvapakshi argues Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti is not possible without Purva Mimamsa. For that we say Purva Mimamsa is not compulsory for all. For majority it may be compulsory, at least for some. Purva Mimamsa, Karma Yoga, Upasana is not compulsory because they are born with Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti because of their Karma Yoga and Upasana of Purva Janmas. Tatratam Buddhisam Yogam Labade Purva Dehikam Yatate Chatato Bhuyaha Samsiddhav Kuru Nandanam. पूर्वाभ्यासेन तेनैव क्रियते हवेशोपि सः जिज्ञासुरपि योगस्य तत्तद् ब्रह्माति वर्तते. कृष्णा सेड सिक्स चैप्टर. When they are born with sadhana chaturthiya sampatti, why to insist purva mimamsa for those people? So three ashramas are required for majority, and for a few it is not required. So what comes under compulsory category is sadhana chaturthiya sampatti only, and therefore acharya says atha shabda means sadhana chaturthiya sampatti anantaram, either in this janma or in purva janma. Therefore we say the word atha directly means sadhana chaturthiya sampatti anantara, but indirectly atha signifies the adhikari. With this the first atha shabda vichara is over. Now we will go to the second word ataha, ataha shabda vichara. So the inquiry into this second atha shabda. So the literal meaning of the word ataha is therefore Brahman inquiry should be done. And therefore, when you say therefore, always indicates the reason. For example, when I say I am hungry, therefore I require food. Hunger is the reason for taking food. Here, therefore indicates that there is reason for making Brahman inquiry to be conducted. So Vyasacharya, he does not mention the reason, being this is a sutra. We have to supply the reason ourselves and say, therefore, Brahman inquiry must be done. And Shankaracharya gives two reasons. One reason is karma cannot give moksha. And number two, Brahma Jnanam alone can give moksha. Therefore, Brahman inquiry should be done. And let us now see the reason, each reason. And first reason, karma cannot give moksha. For that, we have to recollect all the reasons why karma cannot give moksha. We can prove it through Shruti Pramana, through Yukti Pramana, and through Anubhava Pramana also. What is Shruti Pramana? Many Shruti statements, Veda statements, there are there. Popular one is, Na karmana na prajayadane na tyage naike amrutattvam anashuhu. Na karmana amrutattvam anashuhu. By karma, moksha cannot be attained. Very clear. And Acharya also gives from Chandogya in the chapter 1. We saw all this. Adyateh karmachito lokau kshiyate evameva amutra punyachito lokaha kshiyate. All these statements. The Shruti Pramana is there. Karma palam is anityam. Ihaloka paraloka karma palam is anityam. Sarvam karma palam anityam. One cannot gain moksha through karma. Even karma yoga gives only chitta shuddhi. And what is Yukti Pramana? Logic. Moksha means samsara nivritti. Freedom from samsara, which can take place only through jnanam. Since samsara is adhyastham, superimposed. We saw in the Adhyasa Bhashya. Samsara jnana nivritti. So samsaraha jnana nivrittiha and adhyastatvade. Rajju sarpavate iti yuktihi. We saw the statement then. We quoted this also. So samsara will go away only with jnanam. Why? Because it is adhyasa, superimposition. Like rope snake, you destroy it only through jnanam alone. How do you say samsara is superimposition? Shankaracharya says, it is explains in the adhyasa bhashyam. Now you are already in the first sutra. Go back and refer to that. Actually, it is written for only the atha shabda. This is yukti pramana. And what is anubhava? Any superimposed problem goes only by knowledge. As we see in the case of rope snake or mirage water. The person who is frightened by rope snake, his fear will go only if he goes near and sees it is nothing but rope or he has some bright light. So it's also dream. Dream fear goes only on waking. As Acharya said in the Dakshinamurti Stotram, yes, sakshat kurute prabodha samaye. So shruti, yukti, anubhava pramana hi jnanadeva mokshaha. So shruti, yukti and anubhava pramana, all these pramanas, they say moksha is only through jnanam. Karmana na mokshaha. So ataha. Therefore, so brahma jignasa kartavya mokshaya. For the sake of moksha, one should inquire into Brahman. Therefore, the word ataham directly means therefore. And indirectly, the atha signifies moksha prayojana. So the first word atha signifies adhikari, because anubandha chadushtayam is in the first sutra, just showing it. And with this second atha shabdam, atha shabda vichara also is over. So two words are analyzed. Now the third word is Brahma jignasa. The final meaning is Brahman enquiry. But we will analyze this two words, this compound word, and arrive at a conclusion. In Sanskrit, Brahma jignasa, so Brahma jnanaya Vedanta vicharaha. That is how it should be. So Vedantic inquiry for getting Brahma jnanam. This is the final meaning. And now let us see the details. So Brahma jignasa has three parts, as it were. It's a compound word. So Brahma is one part, jigna is second part, and sa is third part. So Brahma means Brahma. Jagat karanam Brahma. So Brahma has actually different meanings at different contexts. In Bhagavad Gita, karma brahmodbhavam viddhi, brahma akshara samudbhavam, where Brahma means Veda. And in Taittiriya Upanishad context, mahagiti tad brahma sa atma, where Brahma means Omkara. And in Kathopanishad, yasya brahma chakshatrancha ube bhuve bhavata vodanaha, where Brahma, that means a brahmana jati. And thus Brahma means Veda, Omkara, Brahmana. Sometimes it means Hiranyagarbha also. We have seen that also actually. Brahma devanam pratamasamba bhuvam vishvasya karta bhuvanasya gopta sa brahma vidyam sarva vidya pratistam atharvaya jeshtaya putraya praha. We saw this. So here brahma vidya means the vidya given by Hiranyagarbha. And brahma vidahapnoti param. Here in Taittiriya again. So brahma here means satyam, jnanam, anantam, brahma, jagat karana. So according to the context, we have to take the correct meaning for Brahma. And based on the second sutra, Vyasacharya himself has defined Brahman as Jagat Karana. We have not come to the second sutra yet, but I'm just only mentioning here. Therefore, based on the second sutra, we come to the conclusion, in Brahma Jignasa, we understand Brahma means Jagat Karanam Brahma, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. And the second part is Jigna. So first part is Brahma, second is Jigna. Now Shankaracharya says, here it means Jnanam. It is not a vague, doubtful Jnanam. It is clear-cut Jnanam. It is Avagati Paryantam Jnanam. Avagati means Drita Jnanam, Aparoksha Jnanam of Brahma. And then the final part, Sa. Sa is suffix. It is called Sanprateyaha. It means Iccha or desire. The vachyartha, the literal meaning for that is iccha or desire. And again in Sanskrit, the san pratyaya is added, it means desire. And such a usage is called desiderative usage. And jignasa means desire to know. For example, jigamisha, desire to go. And then pipatisha means desire to learn. Mumuksha, desire to be free. Vividisha, this word also you have seen earlier, desire to know. And Shankaracharya says, desire is vachyartha of sa, the san pratyaya. But here we have to take the lakshyartha, the implied meaning, which is vicharaha, inquiry. And what is the connection between desire and inquiry? Iccha janyaha vicharaha. Inquiry is always the result of a desire for knowledge. And desire for knowledge will lead to inquiry. Now we have got three words, Brahma, Jnana, and Iccha. And now we modify it as Brahma, Jnana, and Vichara. So final meaning is what? Drida, Aparoksha, Brahma Jnanaya, Vedanta Vicharaha, Kartavyaha. So that is the meaning, final meaning. And why do you add Vedanta to Vichara? That is another question. Why can't I make self-inquiry with myself? Why do Vedanta inquiry? Closing my eyes and ask the question, who am I? There are people who claim that also. Who am I? Inquiry. Who am I inquiry is different from Vedantic inquiry. They say, who am I inquiry? I can do myself without going to a guru or shastras. Swami Dayananda very jokingly says, if one keeps on asking, who am I, who am I, who am I, who am I continuously, only answer one will get is, I am an idiot, I am an idiot, I am an idiot. Because that is what one knows of oneself. Therefore, self-inquiry is not self-study. Self-inquiry is the inquiry of the self with the help of guru and shastra. Because Vedanta alone is the pramanam for Brahman. Therefore, one has to come to Vedanta to know anything about self. And we have six pramanas enumerated. We have seen all these earlier. I'm just only refreshing. Pratyaksha pramanam is perception. Then anumana pramanam is inference. Upamana, comparison or analogy. And arthapatti, postulation, derivation from circumstances. And anupalabdhi is non-perception, cognitive proofs. And shabda, word, testimony and all that. And so pratyaksha, anumana, upamana, anupalabdhi, arthapatti, shabda, they are all there. But inquiry is not included into that. If one goes on inquiring into Brahman without using any pramanam, it will lead to speculative systems of philosophy. Where is hypothesis and not to knowledge? So in the case of Brahman, we have only one pramanam which is relevant and useful, which is Vedanta, Upanishad Shabda Pramanam. Without that, if we make independent inquiry, it will never lead to Brahmajnanam. Therefore, Vichara should be associated with Shabda Pramanam, Veda Pramanam. Hence, what happens, even though Vyasacharya does not use the word Vedanta Vicharaha, we supply the word Vedanta Vichara, Vicharaha Kartavyaha. Not only that, Vyasacharya tells in the third sutra that Vedanta alone is the pramanam for Brahman. Shastra Yonitvat is ityasmin sutra, third sutra. That is the sutra, Shastra Yonitvat. He himself inquires into Vedanta vacuums only. Therefore, from that it is very clear that there is no Brahman inquiry without bringing the Upanishads. Therefore, Brahma Jignasa means Brahma Jnanaya Vedanta Vicharaha. Doing Vedanta Vichara for gaining Brahma Jnanam. This is the final meaning. Now, one more important point we have to understand. Why say Brahma Jnanam, that inquiry is required? Because we are interested in Brahma Jnanam. And why Brahma Jnanam? Because we are interested in moksha or samsara nivritti, removal of samsara. Previously, we analyzed while inquiring about the Atha Shabda, we asked the question, why karma cannot give moksha and jnanam alone gives moksha? And the logic was, since samsara is adhyastaha, superimposed, it can be removed by jnanam alone. And we already said, samsaraha jnana nivrityaha adhyastatvade rajju sarpavate. We already said, like this rope serpent, rope snake. Now the question comes, the question should be actually carefully understood. Any superimposition goes by knowledge like rope snake. When we say superimposed snake is removed by knowledge, what knowledge removes the rope snake? We have to ask that, what knowledge removes the rope snake? Snake will be removed by the knowledge of the rope, which is the adhishtanam of the snake. From this we get a rule, that is, any adhyasa is removed by the jnanam of the adhishtanam, the substratum. Any superimposition is removed by the knowledge of its adhishtanam, the substratum. Applying this logic again, we say that samsara can be removed by the knowledge of its adhishtanam, because samsara is superimposed like our snake in the rope snake example. Now, Purvapakshi attacks us now. He becomes wild, writing Adhyasa Bhashyam. So Acharya points out that entire samsara or jivatvam is superimposed on the adhishtanam of Atma. So Atmatmanoho ఇతర అధ్యాస వి సా ది స్టేట్మెంట్ ఇన్ ది ఇన్ ది ఇన్ ది అధ్యాస భాష్యం. సో ది ఎంటైర్ జీవాత్మ ఈజ్ సూపర్ ఇంపోజ్డ్ ఆన్ ఆత్మ ది అధిష్టానం. అండ్ టు రిమూవ్ సంసార వన్ నీడ్స్ అధిష్టాన జ్ఞానం. ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్ ఆత్మ జ్ఞానం అలోన్ విల్ రిమూవ్ సంసార. దర్ఫోర్ ఫర్ గెట్టింగ్ ఆత్మ జ్ఞానం ఐ షుడ్ మేక్ ఆత్మన్ ఎన్క్వైరీ. Therefore, Purvapakshi argues, you must conduct Atma Vichara. And why Vyasacharya writes, Athato Brahma Jignyasa? He should have written Athato Atma Jignyasa. Why he should write Athato Brahma Jignyasa, Brahma Vichara? So the first sutram, according to Purvapakshi, should be Athato Atma Jignyasa, Atma Vicharaha Kartavyaha, it should be. How Brahma Vichara will help you? And we give two similar answers. One answer is Brahman is the same as Atman. That is what Vyasacharya means. So Brahman inquiry is Atman inquiry only. Here, indirectly, it is confirmed Brahman and Atman are one and the same. And that is why in Taittiriya Upanishad also, Tad Vijignyasasva. So Brahma Vichara is mentioned. Yesterday we mentioned this. And also in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Atmava Are Shrotavyaha Mantavyaha Nididhyasitavyaha. We saw the statement in Maitreyi Brahmanam, that Atma Vichara is mentioned. So the Upanishads, they loosely use the two words, Brahma Vichara and Atma Vichara, indicating Brahman and Atman are one and the same. Therefore, the first sutra itself indirectly reveals Brahma Atma Aikyam. This is the first answer. And we can say this answer in a different way also. Once we say Brahman inquiry, we should not think Brahman is a new substance to be revealed by the Upanishads. This is the mistake many people make. That is why even after study of scriptures, Upanishads for years and years together, we look for Brahman in meditation. Therefore, we should very clearly understand Brahman is not a new substance. The word Brahman only indicates a new status of mind. The already available status called Aham, 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 Iti Siddha Rupasya Atmanaha Brahmatvam Evam Brahma Shabdena Uchyate. So when we say Brahman knowledge, it means the knowledge of Brahmatvam status of mind, the Paraprakriti status of mind. Now I am lost in what? Aparaprakriti. All these Paraprakriti, Aparaprakriti, all these words I am using very liberally because we have used them and seen them many times earlier. So we are only learning about our own superior status, Paraprakriti status called Brahmatvam. Therefore, Brahma Vicharaha should be translated as Atmanaha Brahmatva Vicharaha. Brahman inquiry is only inquiry into the Brahmatvam status of Atma. So by discovering my Brahmatvam status, I want to displace my present status of Jivatvam. Like by discovering the rope status, I displace the Sarpatvam, the snakeness. Therefore, Atmanaha Brahmatvam Jnana Eva Pratijnana. Therefore, Vyasa has not committed any mistake. So, Athataha Brahma Jignyasa is equal to Athataha Atma Jignyasa. Both are same. Or Athataha Atmanaha Brahmatva Jignyasa. This is the meaning of the word Brahma Jignyasa. So, through this, indirectly, Vyasacharya tells the subject matter of Brahma Sutra. The subject matter is what? Is Atmanaha Brahmatvam or Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. Now connecting with first word Atha, indirectly revealed what? Adhikari. We said first word Atha indirectly reveals Adhikari. And the second, Adhikari means the one who is Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampannaha. And the second word Ataha indirectly revealed Prayojana. And the word Brahma Jagnyasa indirectly reveals Vishayaha. Therefore, Adhikari, Prayojanam and Vishayaha have been revealed. So we have seen all three words. Now we have to supply a fourth word to complete the sentence, because the sentence is still incomplete. Atato brahmajignyasa. What? Kartavya. Atato brahmajignyasa kartavya. That should be done. Kartavya means it should be done. Vedantic inquiry should be done for brahmajnana. And why the word kartavya use is used? Acharya inquires everything. It is to reveal the rule prescribed in the Upanishad, namely Atmava Are Drashtavyaha Mantavyaha Nididhyasitavyaha. When we did this discussion in Brihadaranyaka, we mentioned all these at that time also. All Tavyaha suffix, Drashtavyaha Mantavyaha Nididhyasitavyaha. So all these Tavyaha, they put together, he uses one word here, Kartavyaha. Instead of putting drashtavyaha, shrotavyaha, mantavyaha, nidhyasaktavyaha, he uses the word kartavyaha here. So tavya indicates the imperative mood in grammar. Without that, one cannot escape samsara. So the meaning of kartavya should be taken as shrotavyaha, mantavyaha, nididhyasitavyaha, shravanam, mananam, and nididhyasanam. Therefore, one should do Brahman inquiry means what? One should do Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasana. So what is the final meaning now? Atato Brahma Jignyasa Kartavya. Sadhana Chaturtaya Sampatti Anantaram Brahma Jnanaya Vedanta Shravana Manana Nididhyasanani Kartavyani Yasmat Brahma Jnanatyeva Mokshaha Natu Karmana. That is the final meaning. That is after acquiring the fourfold qualification, sadhana chaturtaya sampatti, one should do shravanam, mananam, and nididhyasanam of Vedanta for the sake of brahma jnanam, because brahma jnanam alone gives moksha and not karma. This is the final expanded meaning of athato brahma jignyasa. Suppose one asks Vyasacharya, what should I do? Vyasacharya will ask a counter question. Have you already acquired sadhana chaturtaya sampatti in purva janma? If one says yes, I am another Nachiketas, fine. Then Vyasa will say, do Vedanta vichara shravanam mananam nididhyasanam now. Suppose if one says, I have not acquired sadhana chaturtaya sampatti, then he will say, through purva mimamsa, may you gain sadhana chaturtaya sampatti and come for Vedanta vichara. Therefore, there is no universal advice. It will depend upon one's status. Of course, one should remember, when we say that one should acquire the qualification through Purva Mimamsa, you should not be literally taken. You should be very careful. One need not directly study Purva Mimamsa. One has to follow Karma Yoga and Upasana, either by studying Purva Mimamsa by oneself, or by asking someone who has studied Purva Mimamsa. It is not compulsory that I should know to do every ritual. If a priest or someone competent can guide me, I need not go through Purva Mimamsa study at all. The idea is we have to follow the lifestyle prescribed in Purva Mimamsa, namely Karma Yoga and Upasana. Follow them and then gain the knowledge. And then the question is, what does that mean, that one should stop Vedantic study now and convert our classes from Brahma Sutra to Jaimini Sutras, Purva Mimamsa? That is not the idea. We can continue the study of Vedanta and continue to intensify our sadhana chaturtaya sampatti also. And what will happen? The study of Vedanta will become more relevant, more significant, more meaningful as we acquire the qualifications. So let it start with academic study only. And as we acquire the qualification, it will become relevant in our lives. A casual approach will become serious. So one side we refine our qualifications, and on the other side, we continue our ashrama dharma. So it will convert jnanam into jnana nishta. Prajna into sita prajna, paroksha jnanam into aparoksha jnanam, Sapratibandhaka jnanam into apratibandhaka jnanam. Therefore, we can continue our Vedanta study and Ashrama Dharma also. So with this, we conclude the word by word analysis also of the first sutra. So we already saw the general analysis in the last class, and we also now complete the word by word analysis also. Now there is one more topic left for each sutra. As we mentioned at the beginning, we have to go to the final topic of the first sutra, namely the conclusion. Here we will present the same topic in a technical format in which Brahma Sutra should present. The same idea in sutra literature is presented in a technical format. More of academic interest only, but it is worth knowing what is that format. We will not see any new idea here, but we'll present it in a technical format, as I said. So in the introduction, what did we say? That each topic is called an adhikaranam. And every adhikaranam will have one sutra or more sutras. So in the topic, first topic, only one sutra is there, and it is the first topic also of this Brahma Sutra. And the name of the topic is what? Jignasa, Jignasa Adhikarana. And every adhikaranam is presented in a particular format. And what is that format? This also we saw in the introduction. We have quoted this shloka earlier and given the definition of them also at that time. Vishayo Vishayaschaivam Purva Pakshastatottaram Sangatischedi Panchangam Shastredhikaranam Smritam. So an adhikaranam should have five factors, and that is the format. What are the five factors? Number one, Vishayaha. It should have a subject matter. And second one is Vishayaha. That is, Vishayaha means Samshayaha. First Vishaya, that Sha is Purushasha. Second Vishaya is Shiva. Samshayaha, doubt. So the doubt is presented. Next is Purva Pakshaha, the view of non-Vedantin, Yoga, Sankhya, all those people. They don't believe in Vedanta. Uttaramimamsa. And then Siddhanta, what is our conclusion? And then Sangatihi, the connection between this topic and the previous topic, the continuity. So this process is called Adhikarana Niranayaha. And for the Jignasa Adhikaranam, the first Vishaya is Vedanta Shastram is the subject matter. And the Vishaya, the doubt, is what? Vicharaniyam va na vicharaniyam va, whether it is worth studying or not worth studying. That is the second question. Should we attend the Brahma Sutra class or not? And the third one is Purva Paksha, view of the non-Vedantins. He should present his views with reasoning. It is in the form of Anumanam always. So Purva Paksha, Anumanam. And his anumanam is what? Vedanta Shastram na vicharaniyam, need not be studied according to them. Why? Anubandha chatushtaya abhavat, according to them. Because it does not have anubandha chatushtayam, unlike Dharma Shastra or Tarka Shastra. According to Purva Paksha, there is no anubandha chatushtayam at all in Vedanta. And he will say elaborately, he says no adhikari is possible. Viveka, vairagya is impossible. Samadhi, shakya sampatti, who will get? Who has mumukshutvam? Therefore, sadhana chaturtaya sampatti asambhavat. So it is not going to happen. Adhikari nasti. There is no adhikari in the world. Adhikari is only in a Kathopanishad story, like Nachiketa's story. Who has got shama, dama, and all those controls? Similarly, Vishayaha nasti. Who has seen Brahman? If Brahman is the Vishaya, subject matter, who has seen Brahman? How can there be a Nirguna Vastu at all? And if you ask the question, this is what Purva Paksha asked the Vedantin. If you ask the question about Brahman, how to know? Then what is the answer we give? You cannot know it, you cannot see it, you cannot touch it, you have no, you cannot taste it, no color. It seems only consistent brainwashing according to them. No such thing called the Brahman. It is only Brahma of the student and the teacher. The teacher is confused and he is only transferring his confusion to the student. there is Brahman, 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 he says. And the student also goes on listening, there is Brahman, Brahman, Brahman. And if you say Atma, then they say there is no Atma and there is no independent consciousness and matter alone is proved according to them. As was given actually a long time ago, there was an article in Time magazine. Consciousness is illusion happening in matter. That is the conclusion. Consciousness is illusion happening in matter. They just reversed. What does Vedantin say? Matter is an illusion happening in consciousness. And in that article, after elaborate research on brain, it is concluded that consciousness may be an illusion in the brain matter. And you talk of consciousness and all, and there is no Brahman, no subject matter. Therefore, adhikari nasti, vishayaha nasti. And when Brahman itself is not there, where is the prayojanam? The whole Brahman seems to be like what? The emperor's cloth. The emperor's cloth not visible to anyone. See, emperor, he was walking in the street. And everybody, he was walking without any garments. And somebody said, only people who are all pure, who are pure, all very, very great, devoted, pure people, only they can see the vastram of the king and not others. And then everybody watching immediately started to say, yes, 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 I can see the cloth, I can see the cloth. Only a child said, what is happening to this king? Similarly, the whole Brahman seems to be like an emperor's cloth with which you want to clothe yourself against samsara. And therefore, Brahmanaha eva abhave katam brahma jnanam. Brahma jnanasya eva abhave katantaram katantaram brahma jnana prayojanam. Therefore, prayojanam api nasti. And who says? The Purvapakshi says, and if adhikari, vishaya and prayojanam are not there, where is the question of sambandha? A book revealing Brahman, how that can be? Therefore what? Vedanta Shastram na vicharaniyam. It is not worth vichara. Then what is the Siddhanta Anumanam of Vedantin? Our logical statement? Vedanta Shastram Vicharaniyam. Why? Anubandha Chatushtayavatvat Dharma Shastravat. It is like Dharma Shastra, because we just said Anubandha Chatushtayam, we just proved it is there. It is like Dharma Shastra. All are there. Adhikari is there. Vishaya is there. Prayojanam is there. And Sambandha also is there, as we saw in the discussions. And just because adhikaris are few, you cannot say adhikari is not there. Sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikaris are rare. That is correct. Don't say they are not there. We ourselves accept manushya anam sahasreshu kaschidyadati siddhaye yatata amapi siddhanam kaschinmam veti tatvataha. Krishna says in chapter sharvanayapi bahubir yona labhyaha shrimantopi katopanishad Ascharyo Vakta Kushalosya Slabdham, Ascharyo Jnata Kushalana Sishtaha. All Katopanishad Vakyams. So adhikaris are rare, but don't say they are not there. Similarly, Brahman is there because it happens to be yourself. Then how can you negate Brahman? When it happens to be yourself, Brahman negation is self-negation. And Prayojanam is also there. That is, many people have attained moksha. You can also study and see the benefits. We also gave all these examples in the Upanishads. So therefore, prayojanam asti tasmat sambandha api asti. Therefore, anubandha chatushtayam asti tasmat vicharaniyam, inquiry should be done. This is the fourth factor. Then the fifth factor is connection with previous topic. Because that is also one of the sangati. Should be there. And in the case of first topic, the connection is not there because only the second topic will have connection with the first topic. Third topic will have with the second topic and so on. And first itself will have connection with what? No previous topic. Therefore, fifth factor is not there for the first sutra अस्याम अधिकरणस्याम आद्यत्वात् संगतिः नास्ति. So that is the conclusion for that. So with this, the first sutra is over. Actually, we are skipping the last portion in Acharya's commentary right now for this sutra, which we will discuss briefly in the next sutra, since it is relevant in that discussion. So I just only moved it to that section when we are going to start with the second sutra. And of the second sutra of this particular section is definition of Brahman. That is called Janmadi Asya Yataha. That is the sutra there, Janmadi Asya Yataha. That is the sutra. So it is definition of Brahman. And the first sutra of Brahma Sutra gives introduction to the study. It directly presented Anubandha Chatushtayam and all that. Now the stage is set for Brahma Vichara. Now Veda Vyasacharya, he enters the Shastram proper only from the second sutra. The second sutra is the beginning of the Shastra. Just as in the Gita, the second chapter alone starts with Gita Shastram, here also from the second sutra alone, Shastram begins. Vedanta Shastram begins. It happens to be the second Adhikaranam also. So there is only one sutram here also, and this Adhikaranam is known as Janmadi Adhikaranam, because this sutra contains the word Janmadi. In the sutra or in this Adhikaranam, the topic is Brahma Lakshanam, or the definition of Brahman. Therefore, this sutra is called Brahma Lakshana Sutra. And there is a well-known statement in Shastra, Lakshana Pramanabhyam Vastu Siddhihi. That's a statement. Lakshana Pramanabhyam Vastu Siddhihi. Any object is established only through two factors, Lakshanam and Pramanam. Pramana means a means of knowledge, and only if the object is established, object is Siddham, then alone there is a possibility of inquiry regarding the object. When the object itself is not established, there is question of making an inquiry. The inquiry or analysis presupposes Siddhi, the existence or knowledge of the Vastu being inquired into. Thus, first one requires the Lakshanam of Brahman. Once we know that, one can make the inquiry. And even for that inquiry, we need Pramana. So if Lakshanam is there without Pramanam, it is useless. And if Pramanam is there without Lakshanam, again it is useless. So for example, if you take an example, in the night, we ask a child whether there is moon in the sky. The child has got the eyes, the Pramanam, to see the moon. Suppose the child does not know what moon is. With the eyes, child will see the moon, will see the stars and everything, but unless child knows the definition of moon, child will look at the sky but cannot say whether the moon is there or not. Even with eyes, I cannot talk about it. So with Lakshanam, I should have the eyes, the Pramana. Without knowledge, I cannot identify the moon. Therefore, only when definition and Pramana are both there, there is Vastu, that Vastu, Jnana. So once moon is established with Lakshanam and Pramanam, I can do lifetime inquiry on moon. Vichara is possible only when moon is established, moon Vichara. Now we take inquiry into Brahman. It is possible only when we know there is Brahman. Therefore, we require Brahma Siddhihi, Brahman Siddhihi for inquiry. And for Brahma Siddhi, we require Brahma Lakshanam and Brahma Pramana. So in the second sutra, Vyasacharya gives Brahma Lakshanam, and in the third sutra, Pramanam, and in the fourth sutra, we get Brahma Vichara. Fourth sutra is another important sutra, Tattu Samanvayat, another important sutra. I mentioned about it in some of the discussion earlier. So in this context, I will only briefly mention Shankaracharya's discussion at the end of first sutra commentary, which I skipped earlier, that it is relevant in this context. So I will start the next class with that discussion also. Acharya's question, Vyasa starts Brahman inquiry Now, Purupakshi's question, all that we will do in the next class. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakritilinasya yaparasamaheshwaraha Sri Krishna.